From the high desert and the great American soggy Southwest, I bid you all a good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, each and every one covered like a blanket by this program. Midnight in the desert. I'm Art Bell. And yes, it is. Oh, it's soggy. Soggy, soggy, soggy. Rain, storms. I can look at the radar. They're all over the place. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? Okay, the rules of the game are simple. I have two of them. No bad language. We don't need that. And by the way, hell and damn are not bad language. They're just expressions of, expressions, depending on how they're used. Somebody said that to me. They said, oh, you know, we have a lot of bad language. You say hell and damn. Well, yeah, every now and then. Only one call per show. That is the other rule. And again, I'm considering what to call Halloween. Don't forget, I am looking for people to email me their ghost stories. And remember, when you email me your ghost story, email me your phone number where I can reach you at showtime. If you tell a really good ghost story, you've got a really good one. You know, something that'll grab you and twist you a little bit like that. Then email it to me along with your phone number, and maybe I'll call you. Not that I have that many opportunities, really, to call anybody during a show, but we might call it mid-fright in the night. Mid-fright in the desert? Mid-fright in the desert, maybe that. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. But send me the ghost stories, artbell@kny.com. Let me give that to you again. I don't think too many people have it. It's artbell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, at K-N-Y-E, Kilowatt Nancy, Yokohama Easy, K-N-Y-E.com. Well, it's been a hell of a week, huh? Really serious, serious stories. The star that has serious scientists talking about alien megastructures, that's a story that you just get once in a talk radio lifetime. It really is, and we can talk about that tonight. You can talk about it. You're welcome to talk about what you think it means. In fact, I'm sure we'll talk about it because it's open lines tonight. Anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game. I am going to open up a special line. Prepare yourselves. Tonight, a special line for people who possess a superpower. Do you possess a superpower? It could be anything. It could be X-ray vision, my personal choice, or it could be invisibility, or it could be the ability to time jump, or it could be the ability to be invisible. It could be a million different things. And I have the opinion, well, no, I really have the opinion that there are people out there with these powers. Now, obviously, they wouldn't advertise it. I mean, if you had X-ray vision, for example, would you advertise that? No. People would recoil. And we were actually discussing at dinner tonight X-ray vision, and my wife observed that it really wouldn't be that cool if you saw everybody as nothing but a bag of bones. And she has a point. In other words, if you look clear through the skin and like X-ray elsewhere, it was only good for the solid stuff like bones, you would see nothing but a bag of bones everywhere, right? So it's got to be sort of specialized X-ray vision, you know, like the government has. Like you have to walk through at the airport. They can actually see you nude, you know. All right, I would like to welcome, before we even begin, a new station, WECK, in Buffalo, New York. Welcome to the program. Buffalo, yay, Buffalo. I have been to Buffalo, and it's a snowy town. I actually, if you ever have an opportunity to do this, ladies and gentlemen, do it. Trust me on this. I landed in Vancouver, and I took the Canadian National Railway all the way across to the Canadian side of Buffalo. Anyway, it was about the coolest trip a human being could make. It went through the Canadian Rockies, and it was absolutely awesome. I mean, a long train trip is fun anyway, but that was awesome. Really awesome. Up through the Rockies. Oh, can't even begin to tell you. A trip of a lifetime. It's worth doing, not because you have to go anywhere, just because it is so cool. Okay, so again, open lines, anything goes, okay? Anything. Doesn't matter, I just want to have fun tonight. You know, we're serious all week long, I have guests, and then Friday night, we let loose, and anything goes. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. But I do reserve one special line for superpowers. If you have a superpower, really, and you can describe it to us and make us believe, it is 1 and then area code 575-208-7787. Let me repeat that. Superpower line only. Area code 575-208-7787. And, of course, I do have a first-time caller line, which is area code 775-285-5800. Again, first-time callers to the show, 775-285-5800. Might as well give the whole speech. Our public line is available for all of you, and that is area code 952-225-5278. Let me give that to you again. Anybody can call that for any reason, literally on an open lines night. Dial 1 and then area code 952-225-5278. Now, if you want to sound commanding and good, you can call in on Skype. This is the full tilt boogie description tonight. If you have a phone, an iPhone or Android or whatever it is, you've got pad, whatever, you download Skype. It's free, right? You go to your store, whatever, and Skype, it's free. And once you get Skype installed, then install us. And you do that by going to add a contact. And at that point, you enter, if you're in North America, Canada, America, MITD51. That's as in midnight in the desert, MITD. Just the letters, MITD51. And then we'll be in your contact list, and you can punch us up and dial us instantly and sound really, really good if you're, you know, on a phone. Don't use speaker phones. That is a big no-no. Also, remember to turn down your device prior to speaking on the air. Once you can hear my voice, or music or whatever, then you'll know you're going to get on. So hang on. Don't hang up. And if you can't get through, keep trying. If at first you don't succeed, dial again. Now, the same goes for international callers. Anybody outside the U.S. and Canada can call us at MITD55. So in Skype, you put in MITD55. All right, a little bit of news, and that's all there is, a little bit of news. As you know, by my reference to sogginess at the beginning of the program, it's been pretty darn bad in places out west here, up to 6 feet deep. Mud. Can you imagine that? Mud up and in cars, roiling rivers of mud going into homes, causing terrible problems, closing I-5. Oh, it's a mess. And they say this year is going to be a real mess, you know, all year long. El Niño's a-coming. And I guess this is just sort of a little preview. Turkey appears to have shot down a drone that flew into its airspace on Friday. Now they have every right to shoot the thing down. But nobody admits to owning it. That we say it's not ours. And it didn't really look like one of ours, to be honest. The Russians say, nope, not theirs. I wonder if it could be an Iranian knockoff. Anyway, it's shot down, and it's a mess. From the anomalist.com, the Browns of Missouri claim their house across the street from one of the oldest cemeteries in the entire state is full of restless spirits, and they've got the creepy evidence to prove it, kind of. They've dug up so many strange artifacts, including medical tools, human bones, that their cellar has become a virtual museum. Not surprisingly, then, we hear their ghostly visitors are not willing to leave. They'd be fun to interview, wouldn't they? And then the anomalist, for some reason, has a story about somebody who claims they were kidnapped by reptilian aliens and taken to the moon for sex. That's right. Not just once, but repeatedly taken to the moon for sex. And you have to wonder, as they do, why the reptilians could not manage a more efficient way to conduct their nefarious, awful business than to pick somebody up and take them all the way to the moon for sex. I know all the old lines about I love you like the moon, the stars, so forth and so on. And by the way, she is a former U.S. Air Force radar tracker that claims this, raped again and again by the reptilians on the moon, and then brought back to Earth. Got to figure. If you follow me at ArtBell51, that's my Twitter address. If you follow me there, if you don't follow me, why don't you follow me? Because if I put Periscope up later in the show, if I get in a really good mood and I put up Periscope, you will then have the chance to watch the back of my head as I do the talk show. It's excitement you can't beat for a Friday night, let me tell you. ArtBell51. That's me at Twitter. Follow away. I will not jam up your phone with useless stuff. Regarding the chilling message that I played last night, remember that? The coded message? It was chilling, too. I said it came from a SAC frequency, and sure enough, it did. I got this anonymous response today from somebody who obviously knows what it was, and it reads, Dear Art, very nice EAM, or emergency action message, you played for us last night. If it had been an actual emergency, we would not have seen the sun today, nor drank coffee above ground. The EAMs are uncommon, but other instances have been recorded that follow the same format as the ones you played. The phone tones at the end, number, sign, and 9 were unique. EAM's best received, upper sideband, 4.724 megahertz, 6.739 megahertz, 8.992 megahertz, and 11.175 megahertz. That's where we got that one, or that's where somebody on Reddit got that one. Boy, it is chilling to listen to, too. I mean, if it was the real thing, you know, all-out nuclear whatever, that's kind of thing that you would hear just exactly like that. So we caught a pretty rare one, actually. All right, so that's kind of the story for tonight. Again, all the phone lines are now full. Everything is going full tilt boogie already. So I have no idea what awaits, but on open line nights, I just try to have fun. So anything you've got that's good, you're going to want to phone in. You've got the numbers, so Let's rock, shall we? Friday night, open lines, anything goes. Bring it on. I think I'm ready. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert.
Day into tomorrow. This is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
It is cool. I mean, when we're on the air here, it is always midnight somewhere in the nation. It is sweeping across the nation. So every minute we're on the air, it's turning midnight somewhere, perhaps somewhere near you. With that in mind, it's open lines, anything goes, let's rock, shall we? How about Lake Charles, Louisiana? Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How are you tonight?
I am well.
Well, we had a long week here, and I didn't get to listen a whole lot during the week, but I caught up with you during the day, every day at work.
Oh, so you know about the possible alien megastructures out there.
I know about them.
Okay.
I don't know how much work I got accomplished this week, but got a lot of your show listened to.
All right.
I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to you back since, high school, and I barely made it through high school because I was up all night listening to you till 6 in the morning.
So, in other words, I had virtually or very nearly ruined your entire education.
Very nearly, but now there's something different.
Yes.
Now I'm married.
Really?
And my wife...
I don't want to mess with that.
Well, she's made the comment, I guess I've got another man in the bed with us. So I called Bob Crane and said I needed some help. I got a little pillow speaker.
Pillow speaker,
and, and over the course of the weeks now, I catch her leaning over to my pillow, listening to you. So you're gaining another fan.
So I'm actually bringing you closer.
You're bringing us closer. Shanoa is starting to enjoy you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. It's good to know that I've done something good this week. So thanks.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
I'll see you later, buddy. Now, that's a new one. You know, what Bob really should do is he should get that audio. I think he's on his way to China or something. But he should actually get that audio. What a great commercial, right? He bought a pillow speaker. They are great, incidentally. It's bringing them closer together. Corey, hello there on Skype.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm fine. You're pretty loud.
Oh, is this better?
It is, yes. Thank you.
I remember many years ago you had a pilot that was flying over Area 51 that was live on your show, and all of a sudden the pilot cut out. Do you remember, or did you hear anything about that? What happened to that pilot?
Well, I presume he's dead. I mean, what would you think would happen if you fly an airplane into areas where they kill you just for walking past a sign? You're going to be dead.
But do you remember what call I was talking about?
Yes. Yeah, he was flying an airplane into Area 51. The very foolish. He was talking about rail guns and stuff like that pointed at him. Sure, I remember.
I'm just curious what happened to him. That's all I had to call about.
Okay, well, deader than the doornail is what I'd say.
All right, have a good night. But,
you know, I don't know, so it's the best I can do. You know, there are some things I cannot know. And what becomes of some people who call and then get disconnected with prejudice, I have no way of knowing. Let's go to the next call. You're on the air. Hi, it's midnight.
Howdy, it's Mark the Amp Shark out of Aurora, Colorado. How you doing, Mr. Rodzell?
You, buddy.
All night radio. Hey, congratulations for getting them back on the air. Oh, we're so happy to have you here in Denver, KLZ. And Kilowatt Nancy, Yokohama Easy, I dig that, Mr. Art Bell. You are very good, sir. Thanks for that. And the guy who, yeah, as long as he keeps you on the other side of the pillow, I'd hate to have you come between him and his wife.
I was feeling the same way. I mean, I had already just about destroyed his education, his marriage life. Well, yeah, that's a little much.
Well, let's hope, you know what, if nothing else, you're getting him on the right wavelength and everything will work out just groovy. But anyway, further kudos there on your re-emergence, and you're doing everything just right. I can tell you are the shrewd master of the radio, and okay, you're scooping your competition left and right.
Well, again, tell everybody what station you're listening to, please.
KLZ, Denver, Colorado. It's the second oldest station here in Denver, one of the very oldest in the country.
That's the way to do it. In fact, people listening on stations, I should say this, should promo them when they get on the air. So you've done a good job.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. And, hey, now I am all over the map, boy. You want to talk about near-death experiences, ghosts, UFOs. I've encountered all kinds of things. I almost wanted to call into your super natural line, but I don't have any but, boy, I'm hooked in weird psychically all over the place. So,
well, then, tell, all right, if you're psychically adept, then I want you to reach out and tell me what the strange megastructures are that we're all talking about. And by the way, that story finally hit CNN today. Finally.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time. Scary time to be alive, but what a wonderful time that everyone, this mass awakening, and you are so much helping it. And that was the reason for my call. Dr. Greer the other night, oh my goodness, Art. You talk about work production dropping and people staying up on. That was a massive transmission, sir. That needs to get...
While I appreciate all this, you seem to be dodging the megastructure question.
A wonderful thing, sir. And I had to craft my own theology because I am a very basically at the core Christian type man. But as I awakened over the years with your help, sir, over the decades past, it's easy to see there are bigger powers that are working here and other alternate powers.
So you're not suggesting that I've ruined your religion?
No, because I had already crafted my alternate religion. I can very much see, though, why they had to keep this under wraps, both, as Dr. Greer said, for reasons that the New World Order cannot stand to have people see they're cashing in profitably by our ignorance, but also they want to manage our ignorance. Boy, once we bust through this thing, and I think we might with it, here's what I'm going to say there, Art, to not dodge your question anymore. I believe that in my hackneyed Denver Cowtown theocracy that I had to invent in the meantime, and now it's lining up that all this stuff plays out, is I think they're competing ETs/gods and spiritualities. I think all we have to do is keep it simple. I'm on the positive God love side, and I'm again the devil negative side.
All right. Well, don't start praying to the megastructures. That's all I ask. Stay centered. Let's go. Let's go to the superpower line. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hey, Art. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Do you really, sir, have a superpower?
What is the definition of a superpower? Because
I gave sort of a loose definition.
I don't fly through the sky, and I
I can't
hit the concrete.
What can you do? What can you do?
This goes out to the DM talk hashtag is I'm the gestalt.
Well, that's just a shout out, man. Come on, if you don't have a superpower, I'm going to eject you like yesterday's mail.
No, well, okay, let me tell you something.
That's it. Gone. Who's laughing? Somebody on Skype is laughing. That's you, Brad, laughing, isn't it?
It was me, Mark.
Mark? That was you laughing? Okay. Mark, where are you?
I'm in Bern, Switzerland.
Well, at least you got a sense of humor. And I take it that when you got on that plane last time, you did not crack any windshields, flatten any tires, stop any engine rotation, right?
No, they actually had a technical problem, and we had to wait for a new plane. So I decided not to take the risk.
That was a little pre-concentration.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, Art, did you see the news this week?
Did I see the news this week? Listen, I'm going to have to take a break, but what news?
Playboy magazine has removed all the naked women photos.
I heard that. I did. I heard that.
There's a consequence of that.
Well, in sales, you mean?
No.
Listen.
For the first time in history, men will finally be able to read Playboy while holding the magazine with both hands.
Well, I did hear it was sales, right? If you want to hold on, I'll come back to you after the break. This is Midnight Desert.
Your conductor, Art Bell, will punch your ticket when you call 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
That's right. We're looking for people tonight with superpowers. That's right. Any kind of superpower, I don't really need to define it, do I? If you can push somebody to do something with your mind, that is a superpower. If you can read other minds, that is a superpower. If you can disappear and become invisible at will, that's really a superpower. If you have X-ray vision, I wish to question you in depth. Now, with regard to the Playboy a comment, I knew about that, and I must say, I think they're out of their minds. Really, they are. Playboy has always displayed naked women in a very tasteful way. You know, not like the others, some of that stuff is just gross. But Playboy has, I don't know, it's like, if you'll excuse the expression, fine art. Beautiful women to me are part of the beauty of the world, and a very important part of the beauty of the world. And so I think for them to retreat from that is a mistake. On many levels, but just on that one level alone, that's my comment. And if we have come to the point in the world where it is politically incorrect to say, then I'm ready to leave the world. Beautiful women are just a part of the world that, and if they're displayed tastefully, not in some, well, wrong way, salacious way, I don't know. A beautiful woman is a thing of beauty. It's part of our world, and I hope it never becomes politically incorrect to either discuss or to observe. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about that, but I do feel strongly about it, and I bet you that Playboy sales take a big dive. I could be wrong. We'll see. But I think it's like some new form of Coke, a cola. Anyway, where was I? In Bern, Switzerland with Mark. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Art. I had another comment, which is about, you mentioned taking a long ride on a Canadian train.
Oh, yes.
But do you know that by definition, every ride on Amtrak is a long ride?
Well,
because the train goes so slow.
Yeah. Well, this was the Canadian National Railway, and trust me, the scenery was so beautiful that you didn't care about the speed.
Right. And also, going back last week, I really did take your advice, and I did not summon the aliens on the flight to Birmingham.
Well, while that's a good thing, you still, I think, screwed up, and that accounts for the delay the mechanical trouble, whatever it was, with your plane. You did it subconsciously while you were sitting there.
Thank you, Art. I wish you a great night.
Good night, Mark, and take good care there in Switzerland. Great to hear from you. That's right. If you're out of the country, we're MITD55 on Skype, right? MITD55. Brad on Skype, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
And to have you here, it is as well.
I wanted to discuss number stations with you.
Oh, yeah. Let's rock.
Let's rock it. At first, a couple of little notes. Two more frequencies for those that monitor the U.S. Air Force system. That's 15.016 and 13.200. So you can add that to your list.
Okay, got it.
The transmission that you played last night and the other night,
yes,
and that was causing all the uproar, the call signs are usually computer-generated. There's a huge list of them, even bigger than weather channels.
Well, let me add this for you, sir. Back in the Cold War days, when the Soviet Union began its collapse, that's when they started using collapse.
I know. I was a communications intercept operator for the Navy at the time.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's chilling to hear, and those are not all that common. So pretty interesting stuff, actually.
It was pretty interesting.
And if you're ever listening to shortwave and you hear one for real...
Oh, I've heard ones that are almost for real.
Almost?
Let me give you an example. During the run-up to the first Kuwaiti bombings, we're going into Kuwait City and flatten everything to get all the Iraqis out.
That's right.
If you hear those EAMs, you'll hear them. They will give six characters. Repeat that. That's the message preamble. And then the rest, that is included with the rest of the message when they send the text. If you hear just those six, and if you hear a lot of them, there is some imminent action coming. Also, if you hear the six-character preamble and then a long string of characters,
yes,
it can go into the hundreds.
Yes.
I've heard up to 300 and 400 in my monitoring experience, and I've followed this stuff for 30 years.
And
if you hear a bunch of those come across, there is imminent action coming.
Well, it's a pretty freaky hobby. That's all I've got to say. Thank you very much for the call, Brad. It is a freaky hobby. It is just chilling to hear those. And, of course, you know, the right combination of them could mean the missiles are on the way. It could mean the B-52s are leaving the runway at about 11 seconds behind one another. Not something you ever want to hear, frankly. Let's go to the phones and, look, we have a superpower person, perhaps. Hello there, do you have a superpower?
How's it going, Art? This is Kingslayer, former Dark Matter News writer.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all fine and well, but do you have a superpower?
Yes, I believe I do.
All right.
I actually believe that I possess a superhuman ability to write music, and that is probably a little on the fringe of superpowers, but...
Yeah, way on the fringe. That's so far on the fringe that you're getting booted.
Oh,
thank you. But look here. These lines have meaning. If you don't have a superpower, do not call that number. And you can't sneak your way into it. And that's what he was trying to do. I'm not gonna allow it. There are rules. This is one of them. Do not call that number. Area code 575-208-7787, unless you have a superpower of some kind. I'm going to give it again. If you have a superpower, and only if you have a superpower, would you call area code 575-208-7787? Anybody else, you know, You better do your talking when you get on the line. First time callers, area code 775-285-5800. That means if you have never called the show before, you're eligible to call that line once. So make it good. Area code 775-285-5800. Okay, let's go to, I don't know, Kirkwood something or another. Hello there.
Hello, this is actually, it's Chuck from Ferguson, Missouri.
Really? It says Kirkwood.
Yes. It's a little strange caller ID thing. I'm actually in Ferguson.
Okay. People can actually put anything on their caller ID they want. Anyway, welcome.
Yeah, can I give a shout-out first to the chat room before my topic?
You may.
I'd like to say hello to everyone in the SorceryNet IRC Art Bell chat.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yep.
Wow.
Been around as long as you've been, almost as the show has.
Holy moly. Well, welcome indeed, and hello to the group.
All right. I'd like to, wondering if you heard about the situation at the Westlake landfill in Bridgeton, Missouri?
Are you referring to the fire that's making its way toward nuclear junk?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have. In fact, I've got a story on it here. Let me see. It's pretty serious stuff. The landfill there has nuclear stuff in it, not good nuclear stuff, Cold War era stuff, nuclear waste.
Yeah,
and it is now separated from an underground fire by 1,200 feet.
Yeah, and according to the latest estimates, it's about 1,000 feet or 300 meters.
Yeah. If it gets to the nuclear stuff, well...
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to be doing a show on it anytime soon.
Well, you know, I obviously I knew about it. I've got the story sitting here, so I'm aware of it. But, you know, I don't really want to scare the hell out of people. And I think they're watching it very carefully, and I think the fire is not so much getting closer. It is a gigantic underground fire. But, I mean, you're right, caller. It's a frightening situation. I just, you know... If it starts moving, if it starts getting close, I'll be all over it. I just don't want to scare people.
Yeah, they said this could be times beats times 100.
Yeah, I know.
Well, just one of the... Oh, one thing before I go. I was one of the last callers to your prediction program on Celestial Radio.
Yes.
I made a prediction about zombies. I'm not sure if you remember.
Did it relate to, like, a TV series?
No, it was supposed to be one of your New Year's predictions, so it's one of your last ones.
What was it, actually?
Zombie apocalypse.
No, I meant, what was the specific prediction?
That there would be a zombie apocalypse in 2006, one of your last ones you did on the air.
Well, other than the series, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, I was wondering if you remembered.
I do. Yes, I do.
All right, well, thank you for taking my call.
All right.
You're good to hear you again.
Very welcome. I have no idea why we remember these things, but I remember that, sure. What do you think it would be like if there was actually a zombie apocalypse? If the dead began rising in various forms of decay, as always depicted, some of it really serious decay. We all know what you have to do, right? It has to be a headshot, and it has to be quick. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the special powers line, and this one better be real.
Hey, Art, this is Steve from Albuquerque, KIVA.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Thank you for promoting your affiliate there.
Well, you're most welcome. Hey, the reason for my call, I do have a superpower. I've had it since I was a little boy. And basically, I can hear people up to 500 feet away.
Seriously?
Yeah, and actually, it was kind of a curse when I was little because I had a lot of problems with all these different sounds that came into my brain. And for a while, they thought I was like developmentally hampered or whatever.
I understand. Here's my question. Can I ask a couple?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so we all know that people can't hear normal conversation 500 feet away. So, obviously, if you have that power, then it's not just auditory, I don't think. In other words, you don't have much increased hearing. At some point, you've got to be mentally receiving what they're saying as opposed to your ear or ears.
Well, I think I infer what they're saying, but believe it or not, I can actually hear people, and there have been situations where it's worked to my benefit. I'm in sales, and what's so crazy about this is that it took years to basically tune my ear, so what happens is that I didn't have this wall of white noise that was giving me headaches and causing all kinds of mental confusion, and I finally learned how to listen. And I could basically focus on people that were nearby and stuff. But then as I got into sales and I got older, one time I was at this convention and I was actually listening to some people that were, well, don't say anything, competitors of mine.
Yes.
And they were like 150 feet away, and I kind of learned some things about, well, anyhow. But it's been, so it really is a special power, but it's also a little bit of a special liability. And it's taken a long time to kind of control it. I mean, I wish I could read people's minds, but if you can hear what most of what they're saying at a distance that's a long ways away.
Oh no, you're right.
Then you can start to sort of know what they're saying. As far as like reading their minds, I don't think I can do that. But it's kind of a curse, but also a benefit, just to be able to listen and to it's kind of a strange thing. And
okay, when you say that you can hear them 500 feet away. Is that in a normal conversational level of voice?
Yes.
Wow. In a lot of ways, that must be horrible. What happens to you when you're near crowds?
Well, what you finally have to learn to do is that you keep practicing at it, and you can kind of focus on the conversations that are nearby, and actually, what most people don't know is that they're doing that anyhow. If a person walks in a mall, for example, they're actually hearing thousands of different sounds.
It's true.
And what the brain does is that the brain
filters,
learns how to filter just the stuff that it thinks is relevant, like in a shopping mall.
Gotcha.
Or the person you're listening to, and that's how it works. So in a way, the only difference between me and other people is it took my brain longer to figure out how to do that, and then once I figured out how to do it, I was able to kind of switch it back where I could kind of undo it in some situations. But it's been kind of a curse, a good thing most of my life, but as I've gotten older, it's actually not quite as strong as it used to be, maybe just because my hearing's not so good as you get older, but still, that's the way it is.
No, that is, okay, definitely qualifies, thank you, as a superpower. Can you imagine that? Able to hear normal conversation 500 feet away. And as he points out, it would be a blessing and definitely a curse. You would hear far more than you want to hear. But as he also pointed out, the brain can be sort of adjusted to filter that. Let's go to our first-time caller line, way back to the East Coast, I think. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Ben in Pennsylvania.
How you doing?
Really well. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Are you familiar with the term technology singularity?
Technology singularity?
Yep.
Well, I'm certainly familiar with singularity, technological singularity, not so much.
So the idea is that at some point our technology is going to get to the level that it will be able to go back and improve itself.
Well, I think there's a distinct possibility, sir, that eventually we will become a machine. In other words, this planet will be taken over by machines.
Right.
And
right,
that would kind of be a singularity for them.
Yeah, that's what some people fear. Anyway, I was thinking it would be great to have somebody come on and talk about that at some point.
You mean literally that we all, well, okay. Thank you very much for the call, and I'll consider it. How might that occur? How might our society devolve, or, depending on your point of view, I guess, evolve into a technological singularity? For all I know, we're not all that far away from it right now. The smartest person I know is Google, and I use her all the time. You notice I give it the feminine reference. Google is awesome. What is there that you can ask Google that she cannot answer? Nothing. She knows it all. Virtually knows it all. I think it's cool. I love Google. Whatever it is, I turn to Google. Sounds like an ad, doesn't it? I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert. And yeah, I like this song.
Exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. This is Midnight in the Desert with your host, Art Bell. To call Art, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Let's see. The superpower line is area code 575-208-7787. First time callers only at area code 775-285-5800. And, well, all right, let's go to the first-time caller line. I like first-time callers. You're on the air.
Hey, is this me?
It is you.
R, I've been listening to you since, like, 1997. I love you.
Thank you.
This is my superpower. I can read minds. Check this out. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
Got it.
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you. You tell me.
No, it's a trick. Yeah, no, it's part. It's not a trick. It's part of the thing. It's just the first part of the trick. What is it?
7.
Ah, see, I knew that's what it was. And I'll do it again. All right, pick another one. You ready?
I'm not going for something this lame twice.
It's 4. You thought of 4. No, okay. I was, that's what it is.
That's it? You hung up. Very pathetic, especially for a first-time caller. Pathetic. Let's see. Let's go to Superpower Line. You're on the air. Hello.
Who is it? Me?
That's you. And the only reason you could be calling this line is because you possess a superpower.
Yes, I do possess a superpower.
And that is?
I can see. I consider it that they're aliens, and I can see them, but they're in a human form. And I haven't always been able to do this. I'm 50 years old, and approximately 2 years ago, I got into an accident. I was rear-ended on a freeway, and it was a pretty bad accident. And then after that, I was doing rehabilitation. And ultimately, I had to change my diet. I mean, there's a lot of things going on and, changes in me physically and mentally. And at first, I thought the first time it happened, which was I seen somebody, I was in a Starbucks, and from across the store, like they were on the other end of the store, and we made eye contact, and they kept staring at me, and I just knew. At first, I just thought it was I got a sense that it was a bad person. You know, like, I'm not going to say, oh, it's an evil person or something like that, but I got a sense that it was somebody that was bad.
Mm.
And, but I let it, you know, it wasn't like, it was just a feeling, it happened. And
okay, how have you concluded that what you're seeing are aliens?
Well, that was the first time that I, you know.
Yes, I understand. First alien, right. Mm-hmm.
So, since then, it's become more, I don't know how to say it. It's like.
Frequent?
It's real obvious. It's obvious now.
I see.
When I see somebody, And there's different...
Okay, all right. Let me stop you and ask, how do you know they're aliens?
Again, it's like... It's just like seeing them. I can't tell you. I could tell you, hey, they're not... They don't look human, but I can't say, oh, they're gray. It's like a... There's like a connection that it becomes a feeling, you know, like a sensation communicating with me saying, you know, and a lot of times it's not like the communication is going, hey, let's be fine.
All right, have you ever had any support for what you're saying? In other words, have you ever talked to somebody and had them admit they're from Zeta Reticuli or some such, or, you know, in some way verify that what you're thinking you're seeing is really what you're seeing? You weren't ready for that one, were you?
Well, no, like you're saying, did I ever confront somebody on it?
Well, no, I'm not asking that. I'm asking, have you ever had any verification that what you're seeing really is what you're seeing? Say you're seeing aliens.
I can't say that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. See, anybody who is prepared to come on the air here and say, I see aliens, Art, has got to be prepared to say how they know they see aliens, how they know they're aliens. You would not have developed a talent like this over many, many years after a physical accident. I mean, whiplash does not transfer your vision to anyway. Why waste time? You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Thomas in Georgia.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, bud. I'm actually a first-time caller, but I didn't know the number, so I called this number here.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off then. I'm kidding. Oh, wow. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Thomas. Alrighty. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I just actually started listening to you thanks to my brother, and I'm a member now and everything, and joined the archives. But I got a quick pre-incognition story for you, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
All right, well, this happens every once in a while, but this time is the strongest. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I just woke up, and, you know, every time you wake up and you have a simple dream, you know, you're sitting there running through the dream in your mind. Well, it was just a simple dream, you know, and I didn't think nothing of it. I get up, I put on my clothes, I'm headed to the convenience store just to buy some, you know, small things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I take a right down the road, I start noticing that the dream is beginning to play out. By the time that I'm about to take a right in the gas station, I knew 100% because it is literally doing the exact thing that I just dreamed about. And when I pull in, I look over to my left, and I remember seeing a white truck there in my dream. There's a white truck. And a guy gets out and walks to me. And I already knew what he was going to ask me. He was going to try to sell me some drugs.
Wow.
And I rolled down the window and said, no, thank you, man. And he said, how the heck do you know what I'm about to ask you? I said, I ain't interested. And I it's just boggled my mind ever since that's happened.
Wow. Has it only happened once or is it recurring?
Only to that extent, I have just tiny, small things. Like, I have deja vu all the damn time. Excuse my language, but all
that's
the
all right.
Time.
Deja vu, though, is, you know, kind of a normal sensation. A precognitive, exact precognitive dream is something else altogether. That's pretty cool.
I'll have small things happen during the day, like I'll see an object sitting somewhere, and then real quick, it hit me. I saw that in my dream.
Right.
Small stuff like that.
No, got it. Good stuff, actually. And off a regular line at that. Not even the special powers line. Precognitive dreams are pretty neat if you can have them again and again. Or would it be neat? You know, most of these things that we say would be cool might not be cool in real life. Kind of like the guy with the enhanced hearing. It would be good, but it would also be a horrible burden. Let's go to Skype, and Mikhail, is that correct? Hello on Skype, Mikhail. Michael?
Hello.
Hello. I'll tell you, I almost left the line waiting for you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I think it was the mute button.
I see. Don't have the mute button on when you call me.
Right. Sorry.
It's all right.
So I think that the megastructure thing is kind of obvious.
Okay.
And you even alluded to it when you had the caller with the technological singularity.
Yes.
That part one of my theory is that whoever built the megastructures is extremely advanced, far beyond where we are.
I would say.
And even where we are, we can see now, as we are advancing in our abilities to increase technologically, that it's not too far-flung to believe that it's possible that the computers will eventually become self-aware.
I so agree with you, sir.
And that's about the time, perhaps, that we begin to connect with computers, or computers become part of us, or we become part of them.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll happen. I mean, do you think this is something that people will volunteer for because they can have such a good experience?
Well, you know, I don't think that it's going to be that kind of a choice. The fact is that these things kind of creep up on us. But it's when the telephone was invented, all kinds of theorists said that we were going to lose touch with each other socially, and that was a big danger. And now it's happening. Everyone's saying that about social
media. But it's true, sir. It is happening. I mean, look at even me. I'm on my phone all the time.
Well, and that's true. And so all of a sudden, the phone and you are almost becoming
one.
Interdependent, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
So that my point is as we project in our culture forward into the future, we can see how we will become more involved technologically, and the computers, in fact, will become as evolving along with us. Whatever the end point is, there's one thing that will become absolutely critical.
Yes.
to an advanced society, and that is energy.
All right, well, here's what I'll say, and anybody can come along and add to this or subtract from it if you want. And the wrongness of what I'm about to say. Oh, gee. I have an attachment to my phone. I don't want to say I love... Well, I do kind of love my phone. It's not that kind of love, you know, but it is... It's more than just like. I wonder how many of you would admit that. I use it for everything, virtually everything. So, love is a pretty strong word, but it's pretty close. It gives me almost everything. And hear my wife over there screaming, no, not that, but I have a very strong attachment to my phone. How many people would admit that, do you think? Let's go to our first time caller line. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Extinguish your device, please.
What's that?
Turn off whatever you're listening to.
Ah, there we go. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Where are you?
Somewhere in Illinois.
Somewhere in Illinois. All right. Well, it's good to have you.
I don't know where. We're just kind of randomly driving.
Oh, you're driving?
Yeah. Well, my husband's driving.
Okay. And you're listening to what? Your phone?
No, the radio in the car. I know that seems ancient nowadays.
No, that's right. You're listening to the radio. What radio station do you know?
It says 92.9 Bloomington.
92.9 Bloomington. See, people are not giving their affiliates plugs, so you just gave them one.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but I've never heard your show before.
Well, they're a good radio station because they're carrying this show.
Right, apparently. Very entertaining.
So are you. So what's up?
So I do have a superpower. I have, probably 10 of them I could choose from.
Well, give me your most impressive. Let's begin there.
Well, I'll go with, because the guy that had a me at you said the whole weird dream thing.
Yeah.
That happens to me.
Really?
All the time. Yes.
In other words, you have frequent predictive dreams.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And both of my daughters do as well.
Have you yet used this ability to profit or benefit in some way?
No. I don't know that that would be possible. I don't think I would want that.
Well, I mean, what if you had a dream that if you did something, you were going to lose a lot of money? Probably you'd wake up from that dream and then wouldn't do what was in the dream, right?
Well, I probably wouldn't realize it until I'm in the middle of making the bad decision.
And then you'd go ahead and make it anyway?
Well, I try really hard not to make that decision.
Yeah, I understand. Well, listen, any other ones I should be aware of?
I can recall every word of every conversation I've ever participated in.
Now, that's got to be a little painful.
It really is. I'll have Alzheimer's one day because I won't have any more memory space left.
Yeah, like Kelly in the old Married with Children, where one more bit of information in this side of the brain and then something falls out on the other.
Oh, yeah, that's hysterical. Yep, that's my brain. It is. It's bad. I can recall conversations from texts with my husband from 5 or 6 years ago, and he looks at me and goes, I don't even remember that happening.
Pretty cool. Well, listen, cruise carefully in Bloomington.
Have a great night.
All right, you too. First-time caller. Yeah, if you're listening to a radio station, I've been meaning to say this for a while now, please give them a plug. We've got a lot of affiliates coming, online shortly. Big cities. Should I name drop a little? Well, like Phoenix, like L.A., I really shouldn't say more, but it's going pretty crazy. This is really fun, you know, really fun. Hello there, outside the country somewhere. Artie, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ups.
Good morning, Artie.
Welcome to Claybike in Scotland.
In Scotland, all right.
Yeah, it's brilliant to speak to you, sir. I've been listening to you for a long, long time, and I'm listening on the internet at just about 6 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah, probably sitting there with coffee or tea or something, right?
Well, something like that.
So the Scottish begin the day with something a little stronger.
Begin the day, this is us just ending one day.
You don't have any superpowers, do you?
Superpowers?
Yes, superpowers.
Well, no, nothing out of the ordinary, you know what I mean? I can hold a drink and I can hold a smoke. Is that a superpower?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, I guess. I love your accent.
Well, it's... You must have Scottish relatives yourself, do you know it?
I think there is a little bit of Scottish in me. I'm mostly English-Irish, but a bit of Scottish.
Really? Because one of our major whiskey brands is called Arthur Bell.
Really?
Really, one of the major sellers over here, the Zabel company that's made whiskey for centuries.
You know, your accent is actually so strong it's hard to understand you.
That bad, is it?
Well, no, not bad. It's just what you are, and I'm not great with some of what you're saying.
You've lived all over the world. You lived in the Philippines.
I have, yes.
Yep. You've lived out in the Far East.
Yes, but trust me, Asian accents are nothing like Scottish accents. Not even close.
Really? So you've not come across many Scots people then?
Not that many, but I'm glad to know you're out there. I don't think we've ever heard from you before, have we?
Never, no.
Never.
We've never spoken, sir. But like I say, I've listened to you. I love radio, and I love listening to you.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for the call. I really do. All the way from Scotland. That is so cool. I love the fact that we can just go around the world. even if some of the accents are indiscernible to me. We've done it again. I'm sorry, Skype has stopped working, it says. A problem caused the program to stop working correctly. Windows will close the program and notify you if a solution is available. Well, what's happened is we're going to go ahead and close the program. I'm very sorry, those of you who were waiting. It'll work. I can reopen the program. What happens is that I don't think that Skype was made for talk show people. In other words, when you get 40 or 50 people calling in at one time, it just sort of goes, okay, I give up. It's done this on virtually every open line show that I've done at some point or another. It just throws up its Skype hands and says, this is not possible. Closing. And that's that. All right. Hello there. You are on the air from, I believe, Virginia.
Yes, that's right. My name is Plasma in Polaritown, and I've called you before. I'm actually a libertarian.
Libertarian?
A libertarian. It's not a political thing. It's sort of a combination of smaller government and bigger universe.
Huh. Actually,
I thought you would. I mean, I normally listen on WTWW shortwave. Uh-huh. But tonight, since I'm in the Pleiades star cluster, I'm using the Arecibo uplink and using the ALMA array of telescopes in the Atacama High Desert in Chile as the downlink.
Wow.
Okay. And I think that I had a hand in making ALMA happen. It uses a photonic a local oscillator. It uses two lasers that have a difference frequency, and it can actually receive in the submillimeter band all the way up to 950 gigahertz. 0.95 terahertz.
Right.
And I think that's the radio telescope that may be able to resolve the composition of what these gigantic things around that star are made of, because you can look at atomic structure and molecular structure.
Mm-hmm. We've got a satellite that can look, but it's out of order at the moment.
Yeah, the Kepler has lost its reaction control system, so that it can't actually hold station feet beyond the stars very well.
Well, my comment would be that it's a little disappointing. I mean, Kepler sees this amazing alien megastructure thing and then goes out of order. So we're all left here going, oh, come on, now what?
Well, we've got the very large array in the plains of St. Augustine in New Mexico. And we've got this ALMA thing up in the Chilean desert, and they're very high resolution at those kind of sizes. And plus, we have all kinds of optical telescopes, some of which have...
sir, this thing is 1,500 light years away. We've got to be out in space to look at it properly.
Well, that's the trick, because the atmosphere will vary the intensity. You really need an outer space telescope. Maybe they can designate some Hubble Space Telescope time. It's got photometers on board that are pretty accurate, and while it's still got any life left in it, we should probably be trying to do that.
What do you think about a civilization that could do what they're suggesting this one has done all that way away? I mean, should we ever be in contact with them or not?
I think we would want to observe very carefully what was going on, as you said, 1,500 years ago. There may be some remote viewers who could come in and take a closer look and not have to be limited by the speed of light.
Aren't you a little bit concerned that they would be so far ahead of us that, I don't know, they would step on us like an anthill?
Right. That's a possibility if there's hostility. Of course, hopefully if they're so far ahead of us, they've also given up on the idea of war as being a waste of time.
Well, we don't have enough experience. I'm sorry, but we don't have enough experience yet with what happens to a warlike people. We are warlike people, and we have not yet mended our ways. In fact, we've got ourselves in so many wars that we can't even afford it.
Ronald Reagan said that if we had a perceived threat from external sources like this sort of civilization, it might make us rethink our warlike ways here.
Well, he may have meant that, or he may have meant that planet Earth would come together. The Russians and the Americans, like dogs and cats, would get together and go, kumbaya, we must build bigger bombs to deal with this big threat, right? So there's two ways of thinking about this. It may be that warlike people eventually evolve into really warlike people, so that instead of simply taking over another country or nation-building yet another nation, we planet-build. We sterilize what's there now, and we reseed it. Now, if that's the way it goes, we're cooked. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just thinking of the half glass of water, right? It could go either way. Everybody assumes that as we evolve socially, we will become nice people. We will stop our warlike ways. We will hold hands. All will be well. Kisses and hugs all around, right? But it also could be true that we're going to go the other way. And what is now a warlike nation will become a warlike world, a warlike people. End of speech. Hope that's not true. Hi there. You're on the air. Skype.
Hi, Arbel. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
I'm calling about the radio that you, the broadcast that you had on the air the other night.
Ah, yes.
Okay. I was listening via web SDR last night because it intrigued me. And I was listening on 8,992 kilohertz.
Okay.
Which is also Air Force for the SAC.
Yes.
And at one point I heard what sounded like Arabic and French language.
Boy, that's Arabic would be the last thing that I would expect to hear on a SAC frequency.
Yes, and I'm wondering maybe if that was Turkish.
I would have no way of knowing.
I would have no way of knowing either, but with this downed drone, I wonder if there's any kind of connection.
It's a good question.
There was also a lot of chatter on there last night.
Oh, yeah, but why would it be Turkish chatter?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Well, that's interesting. Keep listening. If you hear anything particularly interesting, record it and send it to me.
I most certainly will.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Take care. So what we'll do is there are many of you who monitor out there. I know thousands of you who, as a kind of a hobby, monitor. And if you hear anything really cool, by all means, call me. Hello there on the phone. You're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
You.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, you kind of caught me off guard. I had a quick question, since you're always talking about, like, the radio stations and all that, how you're
an
affiliate.
Sure.
With the radio and the being on the Internet, how do you track ratings and stuff like that?
It is an interesting question. There are many ways to track. And one of them, of course, is raw numbers that you get from a server. Or, you know, the master servers that send the program out, that's one way. With radio, they have a new system now that is run by Nielsen. It used to be Arbitron, but Nielsen has now taken over. So you have to get those figures. And then, of course, you've got a lot of people these days, sir, that don't listen live. They want it when they want it. And that means usually the next day. So you have this massive number of people who want to become what we call time travelers. And, you know, they pay like $8 a month, $7.99, I believe, and they can listen to the show any old time they want. So you're asking a complicated question.
yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah.
So what are your numbers?
I really don't know at any given moment. They're pretty big, though. Again, you know, we have so many affiliates now. We have so many people listening online and so many people listening the next day or 2 days later. I can't give you numbers. And even if I could, I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious. That's been bugging me for a while, so.
Okay, 1.87 million.
Wow.
Big number, huh?
Yeah, especially what's it been, like a couple months?
Yeah, well, I made it up. You know, the truth is I have absolutely no idea. A lot of people, sir. A lot of people.
Oh, man. One more quick question.
Sure. Real quick.
The Halloween show, Halloween Falls on a Saturday. Is that Friday night?
Yeah, so we're going to do it Friday night, right?
Okay.
You got it, buddy. Later. Remember, email your stories to artbell@knye.com and put your phone number there.
Midnight in the Desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA, well, you know. To call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Absolutely love that. Hey, everybody, it's the weekend. It's Friday night, Saturday morning. Don't forget our two-drink minimum. God, I didn't mention that at the beginning of the show. We have a special line for anybody who claims to have superpowers. Now, what do I mean by superpowers? Well, it should be self-explanatory. If you can do something that other human beings simply would regard as amazing, then you have a superpower, right? And you would want to call area code 575-208-7787. Once again, area code 575, my apologies, 208-7787. If you're a first-time caller, have never called the show, it's area code 775-285-5800. And, of course, we're available on Skype. North America is MITD51. The rest of the world is MITD55. Going to my superpower line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Rod. My name is Chuck. I'm from Rochester, New York, and I listen on TuneIn. And I've been to Buffalo, too. You're right. It's snowy.
Oh, yeah. Very snowy.
My superpower is that I get to get parking spaces open for me. No matter where I go, I get the closest non-handicapped spot to the door that I'm going. They just open up for me. People that drive with me don't believe it, and they see it happen over and over again. All right.
Here's the question for you then. Do you think that you, in other words, you know where you're going, right?
Right.
So
right.
Prior to getting there, you may be pushing somebody who has one of those close parking spots into leaving early by some really devious method.
Close, sir. Very close. What I do is I use the law of attraction to get somebody to leave. And I developed after I read The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Yes.
And one really interesting thing is if I don't have complete faith and confidence that it works, like say I pull in and I say, oh, there's a spot that's close enough. And then I'll walk past and there's the spot that I should have had. It takes about a month to get it back. It's because, like, I don't have faith that it's going to work. So it takes a while to develop it. And that once I get it going, as long as I have confidence and faith, it's like if I'm driving and I have a family member, I'll say, watch this. And I'll just, like, shake my hand. And then a couple rows down, there it is.
Wow.
But it's amazing. It always works.
Well, I would say that, thank you, is an extremely handy power and one that I wish I had myself. I'm going to work on that. But in order for that to work, he said he uses the law of attraction. I would think it would be something else. I mean, you know, produce a sudden tummy ache in somebody who's parked in, well, the spot you want, and start concentrating on that ahead of time. But he's kinder. He's hit the law of attraction. So he simply attracts them back to their car, I guess. Let's go outside the country to who knows where. Mario, you're on the air.
G'day. How are you going?
I'm going quite well, thank you.
Ecstatic. I would love to share with you and your listeners something I stumbled upon roughly about 2-3 weeks ago called the Library of Babel. Does that ring a bell for you?
The Library of Babel?
Yes.
No, other than the biblical reference, okay. The Tower of, I otherwise, no.
So basically, it's a website, and it's pretty much a library that contains everything that has been written, is being written, and will be written.
Well, do they actually have more there than even Siri knows?
Basically, to give you an understanding of how big this library is,
yes.
I did some rough calculations, and if you spent 100 years and every second were to be able to look at one page of that library,
really,
for nonstop,
really,
you would see 0.0018% of the whole entire library.
Wow.
So this is where it becomes even more spooky and interesting. The library is searchable. And I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about it. I don't have any sponsorship or anything like that. I just found it to be a mind-blowing experience. Just wondering if you'd like to know a little bit more about it.
Well, I'll find out more about it. How's that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have like an iPhone or something?
I'm using the earphones at the moment. Is the quality still okay?
No, but I meant do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
In Australia, does Siri have like an Australian accent?
They try real hard.
I've been wondering about that.
Uh-huh. I've noticed the difference in her voice, I'd say, definitely with the new updates and the new software. But the recognition is a lot better than what it used to be. Sometimes
I put on
like an American accent as well. So didn't always work, but, you know, you try what you can.
If you had an opportunity, sir, if let's say you're dying. You've got a diagnosis really bad, something awful. And you're offered the opportunity to hook up your brain to a computer and to continue to live as long as you wish in the computer. Would you accept that instead of the obvious alternative?
Very good question. It would depend, I think, on the quality of life.
Well, the quality of life would be
the senses that I have now.
Well, it would be the internet. You would be hooked up to the internet.
There's a whole lot of junk on the internet.
There is. I mean, for example, porn, but what would you do with it, right? So nothing for that. Let's see. You couldn't eat. Well, maybe you could pick up an occasional cookie.
I think you're on fire tonight.
Have a good night, sir.
Okay. Right. Art, before you let me go.
Yes.
There's two sections of this library, and I think one could actually be a big asset to your show.
And that would be?
Well, I'm not sure the type of guest that you're planning to have on in the future, but technically there's this image archive version of this library as well, which means that it contains every single photo that could ever be produced, including that of, say, for example, the birth of the universe, or maybe if someone was to be channeling someone, say, a photo of who they're channeling, different dimensions, different cities, just it's the vastness of information is just mind-boggling to get your head around. So where I thought it would be really interesting for your show is that if you had someone that had the capacity to talk to, say, different entities, could they provide a reference image within the library of, say, themselves or even where they live or what?
Pretty interesting.
Basically, just anything.
So it's like the server of Babel.
It is. It's really spooky because technically, did you invent it or did you discover it?
Yeah. Good question. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Interesting. I've contemplated that. Would I accept being hooked up to a machine that would allow me to travel the highways and byways and rutted roads of the internet? I guess that would be the ultimate goal, right? If you were hooked up to a computer, you'd want to be where everything is, and that would be the Internet. Going to my superpower line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, my name is Ruby. Calling in regards to, I got a superpower of sorts.
I bet you must be really strong. Your name oh, like Ruby, you've done a lot of fighting, right?
No. Okay. But I got a Wookiee call or Sasquatch, depends on who hears it, but do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Keeps coyotes away when you're camping.
Could I hear that again, please? You know, I'm really going to be afraid to leave the studio tonight after that.
I'm sorry.
Where do you people come from? And this this sound would attract, I take it, big feet.
I just use it mostly when I go camping. It just keeps anything that might come close to me that's furry away.
I bet it does. I bet the wolves and the mountain lions run for their lives. All right, sir, thank you. That's technically not a superpower, and technically it's a violation of my line policy. Steve, you're on the air on Skype. Hello.
Steve, me?
Steve, you, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I was the right Steve or not. Actually, Art Bell, I've been trying to call you since 1991. I first caught you. I was a truck driver over the road.
Man, that's a lot of dialing.
Yes. I tried maybe seven or eight times over the years. First time I've actually gotten through, and it happens to be on Skype.
Yes, there you have it.
I don't know if I have any superpowers or not, Art, but I have had two things happen to me, quite unexplainable to me, and
okay.
I haven't shared them, well, on air. I actually do radio and internet TV show myself.
Okay, we'll share.
The first one was in 1985. I had a motorcycle. I was 21 years old. I worked in a factory. I had the world's most horrible day at work. Nothing went right. I think that Irishman named Murphy might have been following me around all day. Mm-hmm. I was mad at the world when I got done. And I tore off out of the factory and got out on the highway. Excuse me a second here. And I was doing as fast as my motorcycle would go, however fast it would go, I was going. And I come up on this S-curve, and there's a dip in the S-curve. And I got up on the other side through the S, and I found myself in the left-hand lane with a car coming the other way in her lane. Yes. She was in her correct lane.
Yes.
And I was in her lane as well.
Yes.
And I don't really know if I passed through her car. I know you was talking about this last night with the doctor, but I don't really know if I passed through her car or she passed through me. But I froze, and she froze as well. And
you're here talking to me, so
yeah, I'm here talking to you as well. Hmm. And
you really should be roadkill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you are roadkill. Maybe that's the miracle of this call. I'm going to settle for that one because there are so many people trying to get through. Save the next one for your next call.
Certainly.
And try to make it before, well, you said since 91?
Yes.
Yeah. Try to make it, you know, a shorter span of time. But that was pretty good. There apparently are more stories like that out there to be heard. People who were in situations that would have resulted in their immediate mortality. In other words, you're about to hit a truck, you're about to hit a car, and somehow you're out on the other side of it in one piece. Now, that would certainly give credence to the The guest I had on last night, who will be on again, be assured. We were talking about that sort of thing, and I think it's amazing, and I think there's something to it. Too many stories not to be. On my superpower line, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Julie.
Julie.
And I'm in Sandy, Utah.
Sandy, Utah. All right, Julie. Are you listening on the internet or to radio?
Well, I'm listening on the internet, but we do have, when I'm in the car, I listen on KTKK 630 AM.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
All right. So you're on my superpower line, I hope with reason.
I have reason. I don't know if it's a superpower or a super curse.
Okay.
I have a hypersensitive scent of smell.
A hypersensitive, excuse me, what?
Sense of smell.
Oh, sense of smell, okay.
I can smell things that nobody else can. I worked in an ER for 15 years as a nurse, and people, and I could smell them and tell, like, what was wrong with them. As a matter of fact, my mom came in one night, and
wow,
she was really sick. She didn't know. I said, you have a urinary tract infection. How do you know that? That's disgusting. And I said, I can smell it.
No, I understand. And I have heard people say this before. I have heard references also to animals that are able, through the sense of smell, to detect illness. So I believe you.
Yeah, and my sister is a homicide detective. And she'd be a really interesting guest, by the way. She's the one. Did you ever hear about the Lori Hacking case, the lady that was killed by her husband and buried in the landfill? Out here, and they spent like 3 months digging in the landfill to find her.
By the way, what are you talking on?
Just a cell phone.
A cell phone, okay. The landfill case. Yeah, vaguely it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was one of those things that Nancy Grace got her hooks in, and it became national news.
Boy, when she gets her hooks into something, she doesn't let go, huh?
Boy, that's the truth. It can take a normal, and I guess I shouldn't say that it's normal, but it is normal, a normal domestic homicide, and turn it into this awful thing when it's happening every day and every day.
I know.
But
again and again, I know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think that's a remarkable. How do you handle this when you're in the company of others?
It can be really irritating. The smell of their laundry detergent.
Oh my!
Bothers me.
Yes.
And it will actually make me nauseous. And one time, I was taking some classes at a community college, and I was talking to my sister, the homicide detective, on the phone. I said, every time I get here, they burn the coffee. I can smell the burned coffee every time. And she said, there's a crematorium across the street. And so I was smelling the crematorium.
No, I don't think it takes super smell to get that one. Listen, I want to make a suggestion to some of you. I live out here in an area where, to be frank, cell phone coverage is virtually non-existent. I live sort of downhill from a bad area anyway. AT&T, which happens to be my provider, just started something that is really cool. And this is yet another way for some of you to sound really, really good when you call. So here it is. AT&T has just rolled out what they call Wi-Fi calling. And if you're in a bad cell area, oh man, give it a try. There are other cell services that do this. But Wi-Fi calling is about 5,000% better than normal cell phone calling from a quality point of view, or even a reliability point of view if you happen to live in a very bad area. What I would say is, if you've got AT&T and an iPhone or something like that, check into it, because Wi-Fi calling can sound every bit as good as Skype. It's that much better. It's kind of worth giving a try. So I think nationwide, Wi-Fi calling has simply just been rolled out by AT&T. And you might want to give it a try and then, you know, call a friend or something and say, how do I sound? And, oh my, you're going to sound a lot better. So, something to play with, Wi-Fi calling. T-Mobile, I think, also does it. And others are on the way. And it sounds really, really good.
Hi, I'm Asia Bell, and it's very late, so I'm sleeping now. But you're awake, so call my daddy because he's awake too. The number is 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's Asia. Good morning, everybody. It is morning for the majority of you at this time. Still just a little after 11 out here on the Pacific Coast. So we've got open lines. That means anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game. We have a superpowers line, which has been full the entire night. Area code 575-208-7787. And I am searching for people with real superpowers. So if that's you, call that number. If not, don't. The first-time caller line is area code 775-285-5800. Skype, of course, at MITD51 for North America and MITD55 for the rest of the world. So let's see. Let's try another superpower call. You're on the air. Hello.
Greetings, Art.
Greetings, sir. You're breathing into your mic.
It's a cell phone apparatus or similar to that.
Sounds pretty good, actually, other than the breathing.
I am a telepath.
Really? So, by this you mean, is it one way or both ways? You can read my mind?
I have intercepted your line to tell you this message. Given to me by the Astra Command, referred to November 4th, 1977, message that our planet, unfortunately, has 3 years. According to their previous message, it was not given an amount of time, but 3 years to either assume a more peaceful
stance
process
or
be disintegrated.
So, in 3 years, if we are not a more peaceful people, we will be disintegrated.
Basically correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's more generous, I must say.
Species.
Yeah, that's more generous than a lot of recent end dates that we've had. Usually they're about a week or two away.
No. If you listen to their message, which was given on a radio television station in 1977.
Yes.
They interrupted a television station. There are many people who can communicate with aliens, by the way. I know that may sound very strange and crazy.
No, not on this show.
But, no, but for most people, if you tell them that, I'm an ER doc, so if I told people that, I would be taken away, I think.
You're an ER doctor?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And
you don't mention this to your patients.
There's a lot of people who are have tremendous amount of psychic power. I'm sure you know this.
Well, I mean, that's why I opened the line, because I really did want to find these people.
Well, I've had this since a little boy. I have seen people, I guess you call them ghosts, walking through walls and used to drive my parents crazy, chasing imaginary people through our house when I was 4 and 5, and that type of stuff. I have some other things I can do also, which are not the greatest things to talk about, I guess. But I can
see when somebody is going to die in advance.
Really?
Which is, yeah. And we're talking about days in advance.
May I ask this? How do you, when you see that they're going to die, when you look at this person and you have decided they're going to die, it is by, what is it you've seen that, that indicates that to you?
It's a very good question.
Yeah, it is.
I'll give you an example. When I was 11 years old at a table, sitting with my parents and a friend, and all of a sudden I saw the vision of this friend across from the table with blood all over his face, and his face was mangled. It lasted for about 4 seconds, 5 seconds. And I told my mother that, and she sort of looked at me with like a horrified expression.
Of course.
Because anyways, about a week later, he had an accident at work, and that's how he died.
Oh my God.
So it's not the greatest thing to have. I can also dream.
All right, well, let me stop you at that one. Let me stop you at that one.
Yeah.
If you can predict somebody to have, well, a horrible accident like that, the next question is, can you stop it? Can you intervene? Can you say, look, I'm looking at you right now, and I'm telling you that within the next week or so, no?
No, impossible. I'll tell you, I dreamt my son when he was 3 years old was going to fall down 15 stairs the next day.
Yes.
When I have dreams that are in color, they always come true. I told my wife, whatever you do, keep an eye on him. Do not let him out of your sight. He was standing right next to me the next day. The door to the going down to the basement was closed. And I turned to the left. I looked somewhere. I turned to the right. He was three. He disappeared. All of a sudden, I hear my wife screaming. She was downstairs in the basement. He went down 15 stairs, head over heels, not a scratch.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can't prevent the future. I mean, at least our future.
Well, then it must be very painful to see it and not be able to do anything about it.
Well, it is extremely painful. Now, there are many people who are watching us. And it's often been talked about on your show and others.
The watchers.
That, yeah, they're watching us because we're at a critical stage. There are many people who can sort of figure out what's going on now. And there are aliens who are involved in the government. I have no doubt about that. In fact, I believe since 1963 they've been controlling the U.S. government, as crazy as that may sound.
Tell Trump.
But, well, you know, I mean, there surely you see the changes that have occurred in society, you know, like
I do, and you know, most people,
there's a big fight going on.
Yeah, I know. Most people think that society is I don't know, optimists are all over the place. I am not an optimist. I don't see it that way. I see things right now as going the wrong way. I don't know how much worse it can get. You know, we've got our jets over Syria. Russians have their jets over Syria. This is not going to lead to good things. The Middle East is a mess. If you're a biblical scholar, you probably already know that that's the most likely place for it all to begin. I wish I could say that I see a fuller glass of water, but right now I see big, big trouble ahead. On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how's it going? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Cool. I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado. My name is Todd, and I got turned on to you by my brother out in Southern California, so I just want to say I'm really excited that you're back on the air.
Well, thank you.
I've been listening for about 3 years or so I'm kind of new to this, but I'm totally into it.
Okay, are you listening on the Internet or radio?
I'm listening on TuneIn Radio because I can't get to, I don't listen, in, I just listen like to like my Apple phone and stuff like that. So
I understand.
We don't have a radio station locally that carries you.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as there's one in Aurora, but I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, everybody should call their local station and request the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely going to do that. There's one out of Fort Collins, or actually Wellington, I believe, that has one.
Okay, badger them.
So.
Badger them, say.
Absolutely.
No, don't badger them. Be kind.
No, I think they need to do it. It's a local station, and it's definitely, I mean, it's the best thing to listen to. But I have a quick story, if you don't mind.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I don't really consider it a superpower, but I've always had, like, a kind of a psychic intuition. And one of the most crazy experiences that I ever had with this was a dream. And it happened to be the Kansas City Chiefs player that had killed himself a few years back. My girlfriend works late at night, and she came home. She woke me up. I passed out on the couch. I just crawled into bed. Had a late night. The next morning, she woke me up, and she was all concerned. And she had like listened to it on ESPN. And she was like, she woke me up. She was like, "Hey, did you see?" And I stopped her right away. Like, she woke me up out of I'm in bed.
Yes.
And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I know that Kansas City Chiefs player killed himself and his girlfriend." And she just like totally looked like, couldn't even believe what I had said. And she's like, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "Well, I had a dream about it last night, or I think I saw it on the ESPN, the crawler." And she's like, "No, that didn't happen until like 7 this morning." So I got up immediately. I went and sat in the kitchen table. I flipped open my iPad and immediately had the most intense deja vu I've ever experienced, where I was in that moment, in my dream, and that crawler came up on the ESPN website, and I saw the player and everything that had happened.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe that people like you. But what you're saying, I absolutely believe you, sir. We do have these powers. We can't use them frequently. We cannot use them at will. But
I think it's just random, too. It is. I mean, I'm not even a Chiefs fan. I'm a Broncos fan.
I'm not a Chiefs fan either. In fact, I hate the Chiefs.
It's ironic. I want to tell you this story because you have so many Chiefs losses or whatever. But
I know. It's been wonderful. It's
Well, it was just really crazy, and I even knew the guy's name. Like, I looked.
I didn't
announce the guy's name yet. Yep. It was, like, just new, and they gave his name, and I looked down the Chiefs roster, and I went down and pointed at the first name, and I looked at my girlfriend. I was like, "His name's Javon Belcher." Like, 30 minutes later, they came out and told us they released his name, and it was just, it was crazy. I think, honestly, I feel that this experience happened to me once my grandmother passed away. She raised us when we were kids and was very religious, very spiritual.
Yeah.
And ever since I lost her, I've had so many deep, like, spiritual experiences that have, basically since she passed away, I have no fear of death anymore. It's kind of crazy, but it's true, So
I believe you. And look, we have these abilities. End of story. We have these abilities. I don't know why we haven't paid attention to the fact that we have them more, why it has to be something that's, way far out there to talk about. It's not really. To me, it's kind of normal. Humans absolutely have these abilities, and I don't care what scientists have to say. I know it's true. We could take calls all day and all night on this kind of thing. And when science is finally going to realize it, I guess the problem for science is repeatability, right? But if a few scientists would listen to this show for a while, I think they'd begin to believe, and maybe they'd start some studies. Hello, Mike on Skype.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
Very well, Mike.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. I'm going to tell you, my girlfriend's, mother died last night.
Sorry.
And anyways, the four of us around the coffin actually saw her chest rising and falling like she was breathing. And it was my brother-in-law came over and mentioned it. And then all of us just looked up and said, "What? Are you serious?" And we saw that too.
Usually that would be followed by screams, people checking for a pulse, people calling 911.
No, it was the showing, it was the funeral, right? I have my sister here, and you want to hear my sister's version of it?
Sure.
She's here. My sister-in-law's right here.
Put her on.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Hi, hon. Is this, you verify this story?
Yes. I seen my mom's chest
moving,
going up and down, up and down.
But see, that's a sign of life, right?
That's right.
And so, didn't somebody scream and call 911 or something?
No. No. And also, and there's another story, too, I want to tell you.
Well, that's
quite enough.
I see
my mom's light comes on every night over at her house.
Really?
Yes.
I just don't know what to say about all this, but the chest rising and falling part, how could you not react to that in what I consider to be a normal way? I would back away quick.
We were terrified. The four of us talked together about it and decided not say anything in front of anyone.
That's right.
But what about Mom?
Well, she died Sunday night.
I understand.
We had to pull the plug, right?
She went peacefully.
She went peacefully.
Good.
And we just saw her chest just moving up and down for some reason.
Well, it was open casket funeral.
Yes, yes.
And then my brother Marcel come over to me and he said, "Did you not see her chest rising and falling like she was breathing, Michael?" And yeah. I said, "Yeah, I saw it too." And then Sandra said, "Yeah, I saw it." And then Lucy said, "Yeah, I saw it too." Yeah. All four of us saw it.
We saw it.
Well, that's worse, really. I mean, if four of you saw it, again, that's a sign of life.
It is.
Yeah. We asked her to show us.
Didn't it feel like upsetting when the pallbearers
come back and show us? That she's still there when she passes. We asked her to show us a sign.
Well, that's a sign, all right.
She did.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I don't know about that. I mean, I've got two people on the line telling me the same thing. A total of four people witnessing it just rising and falling after supposed death, right? In the casket, right? That doesn't seem to me to be a reaction that computes. Wow. Gardnerville, hi. On my superpower line, you are on the air.
Hi. Yeah, Art, I had a couple times, I had traveled with another person, but with our eyes were closed. One time, I was at this meeting, a spiritual meeting. They said, "Close your eyes, see what you see, hear what you hear." And so I did, and I saw this group of men sitting in a circle. And they said, "Oh, my God, where have you been? I haven't seen you in a long time." And I could see it perfectly clear. My eyes were closed. And they said, "Just remember, all is one, all is one." So I went home. A friend called. He said he was coming over. He had something to tell me. And when he got there, he said he was laying at home, and he saw the six men in the circle. He heard him say, "All is one." He saw the same thing I did. And I had proof, because at the meeting, they told us to write down what we saw.
Yes.
And write down what we heard. So, and he saw it. He heard it. So then we thought, well, I wonder if we could do this at will.
Yes.
So we went to this mountain. We sat down. We closed our eyes. And when I opened, when my eyes were closed, I could see him. It was like a cave, and there was two Oriental men in there, and they were talking to him. And I was standing afar, and I was just watching them for a long time. Excuse me. And then I came back. I opened my eyes. And I said, "I wonder why they were talking to you." And he goes, "I don't know what was going on. Why were they? They were teasing him." But again, we were at the same place, but our eyes were closed. I don't know what you call that, but it's
some kind of second sight. I don't know.
Because we end up always going to the same place, but it's not here. It's not from. It's another place.
Some kind of second sight.
Yes, and one time when I was camping, and it was nighttime, and I could see, when my eyes were closed, I could see the layout of the whole land, and like it was daylight, with my eyes closed. I don't know what you call it.
I don't either. That's the best I can do is second sight. I'm still thinking about Mom. That was an upsetting call to me. Mom's chest is going up and down. Four people see it. They take Mom away. They bury Mom. Mom hears the dirt hitting the top of the casket. More dirt. More dirt. I don't know. Sam, hello there on Skype.
Hello.
Hello.
What is your take on these...
Sir, you're really loud. Back off a little bit. You're really loud.
Right. What is your take on these pictures coming out of China about the floating cities in the clouds?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's on our website. It's at artbill.com. It looks like a gigantic flying saucer, right? Coming out of the clouds?
No, the cities that are appearing in the clouds. They've had two or three instances over the past 4 or 5 years now.
Okay, well, I have not yet seen cities, although it could be a reflection. Heaven knows they've got plenty of cities. But I have seen this giant saucer coming out of the clouds. It's pretty impressive.
Roger that. I know the picture that you're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about.
It's not the one.
They've actually got two or three different instances now where they have taken video and picture of, it looks like a mirage, but wow, what a detailed, non-fluttery mirage.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what it is, some kind of mirage. I mean, we know we don't have cities in the clouds, right?
Not in this dimension.
Right. So I would think that it's some sort of reflection. I have no, you know, I can't answer your question, really. But
fair enough. Just thought I'd ask him. Hello to Belgab.
All right. Yes, hello to Belgab. Let's see. Hello there. You're on the air on my superpower line.
Hey, Art. This is Rob somewhere in Texas. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir.
What I wanted to tell you about was my superpower is, and I'm really just recently learning more and more of what it is, but for since I was real young, I would constantly just kind of know something was about to happen, especially driving. I used to race around Dallas, drag racing on motorcycles like a crazy person, and at least three different occasions, we'd be racing down the street, car pull out, and I would slow down way before it happened. Two of my friends went to the hospital, but just constantly, I don't see it. I don't see the car coming. I don't know that something, but I just know something's going to happen, and I pull out of whatever situation. I get out of that lane or...
Well, that's intuition, very strong intuition. I guess you could call that a superpower. I guess that qualifies. And not only that, but it's probably kept you alive.
Well, amen. Most recently, I started learning. I've been studying a ton of stuff. I hurt my leg. I worked offshore on an oil exploration rig.
Yes, sir.
Hurt the back of my... Went to the doctor. They couldn't figure out what it was. And then decided through my own research... basically learned how to, I went to the doctor, and this is what I want instead of all these antibiotics, which the antibiotics weren't working. But they started giving me some different steroid shots or whatever. Anyways, it fixed it. Me telling them how to fix it somehow. And I'm not a doctor, obviously. But it just, so I started studying about why I'm not healing, why I've been gaining weight a bunch the last couple of years, and it's, why most people in America are overweight is because they figured out on us the human domain, mastering the human domain on us. But food, they figured out in the 60s, 50s and 60s of what, when you put it in your mouth and you tasted some kind of sweet or fat or whatever, it would ping the top of your head and make you want to just basically keep eating until you just almost blow up. And what I realized recently is the fact that...
Are you, sir, in danger of blowing up?
No, actually, I've lost about 60 pounds in the last 6 months.
Okay.
Just basically not eating sugar.
Okay. Well, you're deflating, and sugar is not that good for you anyway. Of all the things that they have determined, they have recently determined probably the worst thing for you is sugar. Coffee, on the other hand, is now in the A-list. Coffee will cure most of your ills, according to the recent Science magazine I read. It's good for your kidneys. It's good for your liver. It's good all the way around. It's good for your brain. It may slow down the onset of Alzheimer's and or prevent it. Coffee is good all the way around, according to the latest scientific news. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that's what science says now. Going to Bloomington, Illinois, I believe. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Is that me?
It's you.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Long-time listener. Love the show.
You've never called before?
Nope, never called before.
Okay.
I couldn't find you on my radio for a really long time.
Well,
and then I'd rediscovered you on 92.9, same as the other lady from earlier.
Okay. I thought you were her.
No.
No.
It's ironic. We're both up late at night.
Okay.
I have an interesting story to share with you.
Okay.
Okay. So it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a night owl, so I was reading, and my cats were on my bed, kids were asleep, and I hear this noise in my kitchen. Sounds like a bunch of cans falling off the counter. And so I'm like, okay, I'm really organized, so I didn't know what that was. So I'm about 10 feet away from the kitchen. My door was closed, but I'm about 10 feet away. So I open the door, look out there real slow, and I'm kind of worried, you know. So I go out there slowly and looking around. Nothing's out of place at all. And then I look to my left a little bit, and there's lavender flower on the floor. And it came out of my vase that's up on a shelf about maybe 10 feet high.
Really?
And it's about 3 to 4 feet away from the shelf. And I'm like, how did that get there? Because, you know, I have boys, and they are asleep, and they're not interested in flowers. They would never touch it. And I'm like, it's 3 in the morning. Everybody's asleep. So I go over there, and I'm looking at the desk, you know, like, you know, we don't have critters, but I thought, what if there was one in here or something, and got up there. Nothing knocked it over. The vase was in place. Everything was on place.
Yeah.
So fast forward just a little bit. It was 3 when that happened. 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching the news, and I hear that the Boston Marathon had a bombing.
Repeat that, please.
At 8 o'clock, a couple hours later, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I heard on the news that there was a bombing at the Boston Marathon.
I see. Yes.
Yeah. And I have no connection with anybody at Boston or the Marathon, but years and years ago, I heard that, or I read in a dreams book, that lavender flowers are the sign of death. So it was just kind of like, wow. You know, I kind of went, whoa, because the cans maybe could have sounded like a bomb, you know? So it's kind of a, I don't know if you want to say a premonition or someone telling me something was going to happen.
Or an absolute, it might have been a coincidence. You know, you heard a noise. That doesn't necessarily automatically relate to the bombing in Boston. But on the other hand, you never know, I guess. George, on Skype, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. I have a story for you about an actual death experience.
Yeah, I'm actually still worried about Mom's chest going up and down. God, that.
I don't blame you there.
Yeah, really humorous.
But this story, it happened to me when I was a teenager. And while sleeping one night, I had a dream. And I've come to think that this dream was a past life death.
Really?
And
how did you die?
The dream began with me standing at the end of a ship's plank, and I could see who I assume was the leader of the ship.
Oh man, and you were made to walk the plank?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was made to walk the plank. The leader of the ship was there, and
man,
at the end of the plank,
what a way to go!
And all the rest of the pirates were on deck, and
were your hands tied?
I don't know.
Must have been.
Maybe.
All right, hold on, sir. We're at a break. I don't get too many walk the plank stories, so we'll hold over this one. What a way to die. You walk the plank. Normally, they would tie your hands behind your back and maybe a little sack of something, sand or stones or something, so you go straight down. I mean, otherwise, you swim. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert.
take a ride from the high desert and the great American Southwest. This is Midnight in the Desert, exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
You know, I really wish I hadn't had that mom call. That's going to be with me at minimum all the weekend long now. I didn't like that call at all. Oh, my. George, you're back on the air again.
Okay, hi, Bart.
You were on the air, right?
Yes.
Yes, right. Okay, continue.
Okay, so I'm standing at the end of the plank.
About to walk it, yes.
And, you know what you said about hands being tied behind your back and weighted.
I would think, makes
sense. I didn't realize that in the dream, but when I hit the water, I did just sink.
Well, sure, because you just go straight down.
And I always assumed that it was kind of like because we were in the middle of the ocean and there's no reason to tread water, just...
No, I mean, if you're a swimmer, I mean, you're going to go down, but then you're going to pop back up again. Of course, not with a bag of rocks tied around your feet.
So anyway, I could see myself sinking.
Yeah.
But then shortly thereafter, I was rising. And I rose above the water and saw everyone on the ship.
Really?
It seemed like to be a very solemn type of thing. And I got the impression that I was one of the pirates and that I must have done something to offend the captain, something bad. But
something legal?
Probably not. But
kidding. You'd be offended by something legal.
And I got the impression that some of the pirates weren't happy that I was being killed this way.
Oh, well, that leaves something to be, well, I don't know, happy about, but...
Yeah. So anyway, I rose up and up and up, and eventually I kind of saw the earth more or less dissolve underneath me.
Wow.
And then there was nothing but blackness.
Yeah.
And way off in the distance, I did, like, maybe by turning around or something, I did see some little piece of light. And so I thought, well, I'll head that way. I don't know what else to do.
Right.
And I don't know if I was heading that way on purpose or if I was being drawn to it one way or another, that's where I was going.
Yes.
And as I got closer to this point of light, it resolved to be many points of light orbiting or going around this big ball of light.
Okay.
And as I got closer and sort of became, I kind of realized that I was also a point of light, and these other points of lights were other people. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand, but I could hear other people talking, like, and just basically reacting to being in the situation. And anyway, as I was going around with all these other points of light surrounding this big ball of light, I kind of figured out that, oh, okay, these must be other dying people, and that big ball of light must be God, and I'm not ready to meet my maker. I've been a pirate. I didn't think I had led a good life. And so I, just out of fear or something, I just decided to dive downwards.
Okay.
And when I did that, I got stuck in like a whirlpool type thing, and it just was like a vortex.
Like a womb?
Well, that's what I think is going down that vortex was what brought me back into this life.
And do you remember your birth?
No.
No.
I don't remember anything.
All right,
after
so
that.
Maybe that's how it works. Maybe that's how reincarnation works. You walk the plank. You buzz around some lights. You're in the womb again. This time as who knows what. Let's go to our superpowers line and say hello. You're on the air.
Hello, Art. Oh, my goodness. What a
pleasure to talk to you. Anyway, I've been a long-time listener and a first-time caller. I've remembered that the first time I listened to the show when a guy was flying over Area 51 and got shut down.
A long time ago.
Yes, so it's been a long time.
Now, you're on my superpower line. You know that, right?
Yes. Yes. Since I remember, I've been able to remember things since I was about a few months old, and including memories of my thoughts. I remember how I was not even able to communicate, but I understood, and I was trying to tell some things to my mom, and I couldn't know how to say them. Anyway,
well, how is this in any way different than any other baby?
Well, apparently, other people, I've been talking to many people, and apparently they're not able to remember all the way, and including thoughts of a baby, of an infant, trying to understand what mother is communicating or saying. So that's kind of, apparently it's quite unusual. Also, when
do
I...
Do you remember laying there having your diaper changed?
Yes. Feeling of the dirty diaper.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember drinking from a bottle?
Yeah. Actually, I remember that my mom breastfeed me.
So you remember breastfeeding? Well, this is pretty good, actually. Yeah, pretty good.
Well, also, when I was in kindergarten, I was eating with utensils, of course, and I've been playing with one of my utensils, a fork, and I kind of noticed that the fork is bending quite easily. And I showed it to my friend of mine, and my friend, she tried it on hers, but she couldn't, and I ended up actually breaking my fork. So I tried on hers, and it was pretty easy, too. Of course, other people, other kids noticed it. And
now, you mentioned this is in kindergarten. Is that right?
Yes, in kindergarten. And I was in kindergarten, and I ended up breaking several utensils and getting in huge trouble. My mom had to buy utensils to this. Yeah, and then she told me never, ever, ever do that again. So I have not been able to do that since then.
Well, you know what? You should give it a try as an adult.
Yeah, I tried it, but somehow I don't know how I did that. I tried it, but I have not been successful since then. Also, I'm able to speak to clouds and make
Excuse me?
Rain.
You're able to speak to clouds? Clouds?
Uh-huh. Clouds. Clouds make them rain or...
Now, that's quite rain. A talent. Now, what do you say to a cloud?
It's a way of communication through my head, through my mind, and basically being part of it. And it's sort of like I'm not really asking. I'm sort of telling them, okay, this
like
is what
dump,
I'd like to do.
Dump.
This is what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, at first, when I was a teenager, when my parents had to ask me to do some gardening and things like that outside, and I didn't want to, I would talk to the rain to have them. To have it rain, for example, and I didn't have to do it at that time or something like that. So it was kind of fun. But then later on, I kind of realized and then also started listening to you. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't know if I want to be changing and playing with Mother Nature. So I kind of don't want to do that.
So you followed my example.
Yeah. So I kind of like, you know what? I'm not sure what I'm doing for sure. So let nature be what.
You haven't been screwing around with Southern California, have you?
No, actually, no.
That's not you.
No, that's me. Sorry.
All right. Thank you very much. So there's somebody who can make it rain, she says. Michael, hello on Skype.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I'm first-time Skype user and first-time caller.
Really?
Yes.
I sense a little echo, but you sound great.
I was saying, I don't think you need to worry about mom a whole lot because most people, when they're, aren't they embalmed in the blood, would be gone.
Well, one would think. But either way you look at this, it's very worrisome.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you 100%, but there's got to be an explanation.
Well, I would want it then as opposed to just contemplating it later.
Oh, definitely. I would think somebody would have tried to listen for a heartbeat or something.
Thank you. It's going to stick with me. That call is going to stick with me. And there were two people saying it, too, which bothered me all the more.
Yeah, and it bothers me, too, to hear it. And I've been trying to think of anything logical, but like you say, you would take it further. I would definitely want to see if there's a heartbeat, listen to see if you can sense a pulse
or something. Yeah. What are you using to call?
My Android phone.
Boy, it sounds good.
Well, thank you.
Let it be a lesson to all. You can sound like this. You hear the authority in his voice.
Well, that's great.
Anyway, what else is on your mind, sir?
Oh, not a lot. Just enjoy hearing you. I'm glad you're back.
All right. Well, thank you. And you have a very, very good night. Let's go to the phones and to a first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I am such a long-time listener that I remember when you threw a party for yourself in your studio for your 50th affiliate.
Yeah, we're just about to round that corner, actually. Again. Yes, yes, that's right.
So I missed the show yesterday. I didn't hear the EAMs, but I've heard and decoded thousands of them.
Yeah, well, this one was creepy. I'm telling you, creepy.
We used to get sometimes dozens or even more than that a day when I was in the Air Force, and I decoded all of them. That fellow from the Navy had it. I'm surprised he figured it out as well as he did by listening to the. He was right about the preambles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been pretty scary to hear because, I mean, they're just standard preambles and then rambling characters after that.
Right. Well, rambling is right. And you know what scares me is the state of the world right now, in my estimation, is scarier than it's been in our lifetimes. Or as scary as pre-Cuba, or pretty close to it. I'm telling you, it feels like we're on the edge of an abyss from a conflict point of view. And I don't like what Russia is doing. I don't like the possibility of being in such proximity to them with our warplanes. It's not going to lead to anything good. Skype, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, I hate to be the second person this evening to rehash the past, but I was hoping you would go into a little bit of detail on what you think the United States government was looking for when they investigated the possibility of Mel's Hole.
I think that if they were listening to that program and they looked into Mel's Hole, they're looking, what is the U.S. government always looking for? Something that'll be a useful weapon.
So you think that the possibility of a bottomless pit would come in handy as a weapon? See, I see it as some place where you can efficiently dump things like nuclear waste, et cetera, whereas, you know, maybe a weapon seems reasonable, but, you know, I think of it as just like a garbage dump.
Well, so you dump nuclear waste into it, and what crawls out?
Hey, good question.
Good
nuclear
point.
Physicists might be able to call in and answer that one.
And you might want to ask them before you dump the waste in there. Something with big teeth, sir.
I was hoping that you've been talking about the megastructures a little bit, but
yes.
You've been talking to all these people and asking them what they have to say about it. I know that you're kind of leaning towards the possibility of it being a Dyson sphere, but do you have anything else to say on that? What do you think's going on there?
Look, sometimes you just have to say, I don't know. And in this case, I don't know. But if they are megastructures, I'm pretty sure we don't want to meet the people that built them.
Well, I'm curious myself, but I tend to remain a little as cautiously optimistic as you.
Thank you. I have always hoped that in my lifetime we would discover alien life. Now, this may be it. It may be that SETI will point the telescopes in that direction, radio telescopes, and they will actually detect something. It may not be a signal per se, but it may be noise. A civilization capable of doing that kind of thing may even inadvertently be doing something from a industrial point of view, if I can loosely use that term, that would generate radio noise that could be heard 1,500 years later. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. Where you're down in Texas?
Yes, I am down in Texas. I'm right out of Houston, Texas, and I'm listening to you on 5085 kilohertz on WTWW.
All right. I think you also have a local affiliate, by the way.
Oh, we do. What would that be?
You would ask. I don't have a list here. So.
I can find it out. I just wanted to tell you that somebody's listening to you on shortwave. I'm a ham, of course, and I tuned my receiver across 5085, and I got a 40/9 signal. So I said, "What's this?" And then I realized you're back on.
Let me tell you something, sir. If you're a shortwave listener, if you listen to a lot of shortwave, then let me run this by you. We have got to be, by far and away, the most interesting thing on shortwave. I mean, shortwave has sort of deteriorated a little bit into, well, frankly, most of the countries that we're broadcasting, many of them have signed off. There are some religious stations on, but in terms of what you find on the dial, we've got to be one of the more interesting.
Absolutely. Another interesting one, I mean, absolutely for sure, and I know the genesis of the station that you took over, which is absolutely fantastic that you did that. And, you know, Havana, Cuba is getting interesting. I used to listen to Radio Moscow. I listened to Radio Moscow when the fall of the Russia was falling, which was very interesting. But the other broadcasters that are broadcasting a philosophy, let's just put it that way.
A philosophy, yes.
You know, of religion per se. It's too mundane and it's not good. But I really enjoy listening to you. I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, listen, thank you. And you know what, sir, our show is ending, so I'm going to give you the chance to tell everybody good night.
Okay, well, good night, everybody, and this is excellent quality broadcasting from Art Bell and shortwave radio and the Internet.
Thank you, brother. All right, I want to thank my crew, and I do have a crew. Telos, my buddy Joe Talbot here. Thank you, Joe. Keith Rowland, my webmaster. Heather Wade, my producer. If you've got a guest you want, it's producer@artbell.com. Producer@artbell.com. Stream guys. LV.net. LV.net people are great. They're about their 50th anniversary. Sales, of course, Pete Eberhardt. TuneIn Radio. A lot of you listening on TuneIn Radio. And Amy Martin, our new news gal. Thank you all. And just imagine it's not just me, but it's a whole crew that does this. I'm sorry to leave all the phone lines going. Skype going nuts. We could do hours. From the high desert, the soggy high desert, good night. Everybody have a good weekend. And all, Mom, good night, everybody.
Midnight in the desert, and there's wisdom.